And so we are asking, who or what is a mystic? And at this point, if anyone wants to put anything out there, you can. What are your thoughts? What do you think a mystic is? Who do you think is a mystic? Maybe name a person that you think is a mystic.
Meister Eckhart.
Meister Eckhart.
Meister Eckhart, he's a Christian mystic. Rumi is a Sufi mystic. Hafiz is a Sufi mystic.
God is a mystic.
Absolutely. The Buddha.
Jesus Christ.
I see Eckhart Tolle.
Saint Francis of Assisi.
Absolutely, and the one quality that defines all these people are basically it boils down to one fact, is that they have an intrinsic atmosphere about what God is, about the unity of us all. Ernest Holmes, I would say, is also a mystic. And with his philosophy, the philosophy of science of mind that we so wonderfully like to partake of and study, he has literally sort of divided what the mystics have taught in this book. It should look a little better than this. I have a better one. I wanted just to show you all that I do have a better one. But he has divided it into like four stages, like unity, which is there is only one. It's all one. Individuality. From the one, we are individualized, but we are yet in the one. He talks about salvation and, you know, he talks about heaven, hell, slash. He talks about evolution. And his evolution is particularly involving going within to expand, you know, being more of who we are. And he talked about cosmic consciousness and illumination. Now, I won't be able to... I could probably just touch, but I can't get into everything. So I sort of, you know, demarked my talk by just coming to some very poignant thoughts about being a mystic. I will kind of give you an idea of what Ernest Holmes, well, first of all, what Wikipedia thinks or what the explanation of a mystic is. Wikipedia's explanation is one who has communion with, identity with, or conscious awareness of an ultimate reality / divinity / God / spiritual truth through direct experience, intuition, instinct, or insight. So that's Wikipedia. Ernest Holmes says, among many of his many conversations, that a mystic is not a mysterious person, but one who has a deep inner sense of life and of his unity with the whole. He also says a mystic is one who intuitively perceives truth and, without mental processes, arrives at a spiritual realization. He also mentioned that it's about consciously courting the divine, which means you have a conscious receptivity to God. There is Science of Mind practitioner called Reverend Jane Beach, and she is from the Conscious Living Center in California. And I liked her explanation of what a mystic is. I think she had done writing in one of the Science of Mind magazine. I think it's back in 2007. And she says that a mystic is anyone who experiences or seeks to experience God on a personal, intimate level, whether they know they are a mystic or not, and whether they believe that or not. And our own mystic Connie Chandler says in her book, in A Gift of Vision, she says, "You are light, and light you shall remain." She says, mystical means connected to spirit. And my interpretation of being a mystic is that mystics have an undeniable understanding and assurance of the God presence within, and that all is always truly well. It's an understanding, it's a deep perception, it's an intuitive response that just flows. The one thing about mystics is that you wonder, could they ever make up a story or make up parts of a conversation that hundreds of years, thousands of years, the same people or persons were able to come up with this same realization. I mean, it's almost like it flows through the ages, and it's all the same story. It's all the same truth. There may be different slants to it, but the inherent nature of all the conversations is that it's all God. And it's the whole. Jesus spoke about it. You know, Jesus, he had wonderful experiences talking about the God within. He spoke about that heaven is at hand. And he always focuses on being loved and love. And God so loved the world. And it's just about that innate feeling, that innate nature that springs forth from us. You know, there are other people in the Bible that spoke about the goodness or that wholeness that we have. And some quotes were from you know, David, Solomon. There is my favorite, Wayne Dyer. I don't know if you call him a mystic, but I call him a mystic. Mm-hmm. Because I feel that truth, that wholeness that comes from him. Emma Curtis Hopkins, I love that woman. She has beautiful writings. Emerson, all these people, they come, they present to us, or we read of their work. But with everything, there is just that one pure, perfect truth behind it all. That's a mystic. That is someone who intrinsically, intuitively knows. And do you think we are all aspects of these people? Yes, we are. We are absolutely one. There is no differentiation in the core of our beings. We are that. And so I have sort of highlighted some of the things, some of the patterns that you can look at for that mystics exhibit. First of all, mystics see everyone in the light of God. I was reading maybe it's somewhere. I am not sure if it's this book, but somewhere else I was reading where sometimes mystics literally see light. They see little
auras.
Yes. They see stuff. They see little things just everywhere. Mm-hmm. And that is an instance of a God realization. You know, in the Bible, and I have my base also in the Bible, and there was this point where I think Paul turned to Saul. And at that moment, there was like a flash of blinding light, and his life was changed. And I think that that's a point where he came to a God realization of the God within him, and that literally changed his point of view. There are many stories where people, everyday people, would tell you that they see light and something changes right there and then. You know, sometimes you're in prayer or I'm in prayer and I would just open and everything looks so bright, you know, and you just have this good, soothing, reassuring feeling that all is well. And so mystics see everyone in the light of God. They also believe that there is a deeper and more fundamental state of existence, which we believe is an everyday, day-to-day sort of humdrum. They see a deeper and know a deeper and a more fundamental state of existence, which is the state of oneness, the state of God. Mystics are usually people who, they have other people drawn to them. I don't know if you know that. There is just a feeling of, I like what I see in this person. Mm-hmm. You know, you meet a person for the very first time and you feel drawn, you feel attracted. You feel as though they're showering you with love, unseen and sometimes seen. And usually mystics are people who can become or are teachers, and teachers with they literally teach love. They literally open their heart and just like release love to their students. And this is what others are drawn to. Sometimes you can there is a difference. Sometimes you meet someone and it's like maybe just a little smile would do, because something kind of rebuffs you. And then on the other end of it, you meet someone and you're like, can I lie on your chest? Can I go home with you? You make me feel so good. You know? You melt in their presence. And that's a presence of love, belovedness. And so these are qualities, characteristics. And the only reason we can recognize it is because we also have it within us. We do. And so just know that these are people who are along our journey, in our path, to help to open us out to be more of who we truly are, which is our God self, our, you know, living in love, living in a state of well-being and peace and ease. So mystics sometimes... they are usually leaders. They are usually not concerned about religious differences. You know, there are people who fight to the end that this is how it is, and this is what book says, and this is what philosophy says, and they are really not twisting or turning from their decisions. And you sort of find a sort of a hardness, a dryness, a toughness in institutions or people that carry this type of philosophy. But a person who truly knows that it's all God, regardless of religion, faiths, whatever you have, doesn't need to explain, doesn't need to show the sense of, or to put up a fight that this is what I believe in, and you must know it. A mystic doesn't need to evangelize what God is, because a mystic knows that God is. And so they are not usually concerned about religious differences and are more drawn to having effective practices with which to attain enlightened consciousness, and in which to attain and continue that communion and union with God. So instead of trying to make others understand where they're coming from, they're personally in attunement with God, because it's all about unfolding. It's all about the individuality. It's all about my communication, my communion with the peace, the peace and the ease of my soul and the love of my soul. So there is really no need to push what I believe on another person. So other people's religion and opinions do not easily swerve a mystic's awareness of this God presence within them. Because even a person that has a real hardcore belief that's absolutely not open at the top to even listen to another person, we know that at the core of their being, that is God. And there is, God cannot fight against God. It's all about unity, the infinite, and there is no division in the infinite. So it's just not something that we should be concerned about. Mystics dream dreams, and mystics sees visions. And this is why people are drawn to them, because it's because of a dedication. It's like an opening. It's like a pure communion with I am calling it the beloved. I love the word the beloved. It's communication with the beloved. And so, could we dream dreams and see visions? Meaning, the normal, everyday, Latina, Caribbean, getting involved in an everyday kind of hustle and bustle. Could we see dreams, dream dreams and see visions? Of course we can. It just takes practice. It just takes consciously courting the divine. It takes the time to really be still and recognize that deep within us, deep within our core, is God. And what God can do in one person, God does in all persons, because there is no division, there is no difference. It's just our receptivity to God. And so mystics know that the kingdom of God is at hand, and we talked about that. Mystics know that there is no time but now. It's all now. The past is gone, the present is yet, the future is yet to be. This is God. Right here, right now. Mystics are everyday people. We talked about that. Mystics embrace the contradictions of the human experience. They feel divinely loved, whether they are alone or with others or with situations. There is a feeling that I am loved, regardless. Mystics look for good in other people and in every situation. Reverend Jane Beach said in one of the questions, she says, when something really terrible, as we call terrible, happens, or when there are situations or challenges that are really tough for us, instead of asking how did this happen, mystics ask, how can I have this be an answered prayer? And I really like that explanation of dealing with situations, really looking at the bigger picture and the depth of the core of where we are, and knowing that beneath all these challenges, how can this be effective in my life? Mystics trust their intuition even when every speck of logic points them to the opposite direction. And that is a lot of trusting. That is a lot of trusting in knowing that at the core of my being there is peace, There is ease, there is vitality, there is abundance, there is whatever the challenge may be. It's a trust, an intuitive trust, telling us, trust God. It's all God. And even when our brain kicks in and everything else says no, the answers usually lie within that peace that we afford the situation. And usually you would see the answered prayer after it is all done, after you've let go, after you've made your decision. You would know whether you should have done this or you should have done that. And so a mystic feels really comfortable, even when everything else goes crazy around her, that this is God. A mystic believes in the oneness and unity of all things. That which is infinite cannot be divided against itself. It is therefore indivisible, and consequently, God, we all are a perfect union. So within this perfect union, each individual exists, not separated, but as a separate entity. So we are individuated in God. We are just specks of God everywhere, yet we are all God. We cannot be separated from this perfect union we call life, we call God, we call spirit. We are individualized centers in the consciousness of God. We know the whole of God is present at any and every point, right here, right now, right where I am the whole of God. Yet, we all are the whole of God. Yet, outside of here, this building, we are the whole of God. And so it just keeps expanding. You know, it's how we feel and know and trust that God is everywhere present. You know, there's a statement that there is no place where God is not. No place. If we believe in the union, the perfect union, there is no place where God is not. There's another statement which says, God is the center. God's center is everywhere, and whose circumference is nowhere. So we know that God is in all and through all. And that's a very, very reassuring place to be. Another one says that mysticism or mystic is usually our natural state. Knowing God, knowing that we are one with all of life, is our natural state. Mystics have taught that the soul is on the pathway of experience and of self-discovery. Man's life is his to do what he chooses, and when he turns inward, he would always receive inspiration and guidance. So even if we are individualized and we have our own sense of choice, we know that staying centered, staying in the unity, in the oneness, that we are always inspired. We are always guided into our next step, into our pathways. Mystics understand the divinity of man. And this is a quote, I have said, ye are gods, and all of you are children of the Most High. Mystics understand that. They understand our royalty. They understand that we are God connected, and that's our natural state. We are absolutely empowered with what God is. We are empowered with the qualities of God. And sometimes even looking at the state of health or vitality, you know, when we pray, or when we become connected, or when we sit in communion or in union with our core, our God self, we envisage God to be vitality. We envisage life as ever abundance, as explosive. And so we take that vitality and know with assurance that this is who we are. We are God explosive with life and health and vitality and abundance and richness. I mean, this is who we are. Really and truly, we are God and God qualities. And it's just a matter of boldness. It's just a matter of going out and reaching for it and claiming it and knowing it is done. Because the law will always obey us. The law will always listen and bring forth from the invisible into our visible. So go forth with boldness. Mystics believe that the highest mental practice is to listen to the inner voice and declare its presence. She knows that the greater a man's consciousness of this indwelling I am is, the more fully he will live. And so, in closing, I wanted to just go through a couple other things. Mystics have seen the cosmic light, which we talked about earlier. They know that truth is light. And this is where I mentioned about the substance. Sometimes they see a fine, white, brilliant stuff, sometimes forever falling into everything. Not only into the people they like, but they see this brilliance, this substance into everything. And that takes a lot of practice. That takes a lot of communion. That takes a lot of really staying in the oneness. And so mystics such as our own Connie Chandler, you are, my dear, you are a mystic.
Yes.
And it's strange because throughout this entire process, and I've had months to literally work on this, you just kept coming into my mind. Mm-hmm. And the things that I mentioned here are most of the things that I see in you as you. And so I think you are a mystic. You're our own Sterling Study Group mystic, and you share yourself with everyone. You give of your love. And so mystics such as Connie Chandler knows what it means to chat with the beloved. And basically that's what it is. It's us communing with God and listening to God, talking to God. And so there, Reverend Jane had offered a couple suggestions for cultivating a relationship with God, with Spirit. Sometimes it's hard to believe. I did read, I do have some questions which we are going to go ahead in the second part of our study, where Roy Eugene Davis had, he'd mentioned some questions. And so we can discuss this. What I'm thinking about is maybe having each group, I don't know how many groups we can have, maybe three or four. And some of the questions are, and it's very relevant. One of the questions is, if our innate urge is to know God, why is it that we are not always aware of it? So that's one of the questions. Another question is, now that I'm aware of my soul urge to know God, what can I do to acquire a higher understanding that will definitely result in spiritual growth? And I have two other questions which I will present to you after. But Reverend Jane offers some suggestions for just kind of staying with the God relationship. She says, expressing gratitude upon waking for the gift of the day, taking time to talk with Spirit after waking, expressing an intention to be aware of Spirit's presence throughout the day. She also says to start paying attention. Practice having conversations with Spirit. When a question arises, ask, what am I to do about whatever the question might be? It's an everyday relationship. It's God is not afar off. God, in some cases, I hear people say, is nearer than my hands and feet. God is here. God is right here. And this is where our conversations arise. So ask questions. What am I going to do with this? And really ask. I mean, that's the only way that the evolution of God expands, opens up, moves us into another direction, is by asking. And after we ask, we have to or must trust the answers that come to us. And you will know what to do when the time comes. You know, it's really an amazing thing. Sometimes you ask, you're in a quandary, or you really need answers to questions, and you're like, so God, what do I do now? You know, it's a conversation. It's a two-way street, sort of. And you get the answer, and then the brain kicks in. I don't think it's going to be like that because so-and-so, and then we put rationale to a lot of our situations. And that alone sort of puts us into a different category. A lot of the times when we meditate, we pray, and then we ask questions, usually the first sets of conversations that come to us is usually the ones we should follow. Listen to it, be with it, and feel it. You will know, you really will know. You will get a sense of peace. You will get a sense of easiness within you. But you really have to trust. You have to trust that God is opening a way, is literally lighting your way. And she also says, let go of worry. She says, I like this one because I have intuitively done this many times. When you get into your car and a song you really like comes on, smile big and know that that's God's gift to you. So such conscious communication may feel silly in the beginning, but do it anyway. Magic happens when you open the door. If you are in a difficult situation, you will be conscious of how you move through it, knowing that you have the choice to like yourself as it unfolds. As the mystical you emerge, you will become aware that you are a gift, that you are cherished by God that knows only good and loves you completely. You will understand that life is to be treasured, no matter what the circumstances. More and more, you will find yourself surrendering to the one that guides you, and your level of trust will grow. Mystics live a life of trust. Trust is followed by surrender, and surrender invites a life of fulfillment and joy. Such is your life. You are the life of a mystic.